looking. Sometimes we find when we aren't looking in life, some things are happening that we're really not aware of. That's what was happening there. Let us hold fast. That's what I was thinking about there. We need to hold fast to our profession. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you for Fairhaven Baptist Church, our dear friends who are here this morning, our dear friends who will enjoy for eternity. And Lord, we thank you most of all. You're here, and you will be the focal point of all of eternity, as you are so glorious and awesome. It'll be difficult at any time to take our eyes off from you. You're just amazing. What a God, and yet you have chosen to live within our hearts. And Lord, that's what makes life beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a rushing torrent of water up in above New Halen, Alaska, as the broader river would come down into the Stony Narrows and rush down through there, and the rocks would control the water as it was swirling around. Sometimes people would try to go through the rapids. One young man didn't make it. In fact, the waters pulled him down, and he did not come back up. Well, the warnings are clear in Scripture against the dangers of life, including the danger of drifting. Hebrews chapter 2. We know that we as born-again Christians also hold the potential to drift. Here in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so that seems to be saying, don't you think that we need to pay attention and we should be hearing and knowing some things, or else if we don't, we're liable to slip away. And now the question for you and me this morning is, am I drifting? Are you drifting? And how would you know if you are? Now, there are some things that we should know. One is that, and you're aware of this, drifting requires no effort. How do you know that? Well, what happens when you shut off the motor in the boat or you release the oars? Very soon you begin to drift, whether from the winds or the currents or the tide, you start moving. And the same is true in the Christian life, and that's why we must give more earnest heed to know what's happening. Secondly, you know what? Drifting is just an unconscious process. We were out in the Tongass Narrows, and I was fishing with Dr. Boyer, and we let our lines down, 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 down there in the ocean. Finally could feel that big sinker hit bottom down there. We reeled up just a ways to get the halibut and the cod. And so then often for me it was time for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or a Snickers candy bar. But I noticed one thing as I took my eyes off the shore. Wasn't long before, you know, just hanging out there, I realized we had moved a long ways from the bank. So the tides were drawing us away, and I was not aware of that. And so drifting, it's just an unconscious process. Could be gradual, could be rapid. Well, we might be very unaware of the drifts of life. How could we possibly ever discern all of the undercurrents below the surface? And so we look at our nation today, and you know, people scratch their heads and ask, how in the world could we change so much and drift so far in so short of a time? Well, I don't have to tell you, you know, as discerning people, Christian movements change and drift. Right from the New Testament, some of those churches were drifting into error. One thing I've noticed about Fairhaven, this church is very determined that we will never drift. Doesn't come from me. It was here long before I got here. Never drift into foolishness and error. We have an adopted granddaughter. Just started campus at Faith Baptist Bible College, and she wrote that she's so excited to be on the same sidewalks that we were many years ago. And I wrote back to her, you know, the sun is gone. The breeze is cooling the land. The baby blue sky in the west is shrinking down as the purple cosmos, diminishes it into the edge of the sky. I love it outdoors. I was studying outdoors last night. But reading that, I just closed my laptop for a while and reflected on those good memories. Those were some of the greatest years in our lives, measuring our discipline, wading into ministries, gaining many friends, and enjoying integrity role models. And from the micro to the Hubble, the intimate attention of God to the small and the great began to grow in our lives. Maybe the greatest appreciation that we have for faith is that everything we enjoyed was still there and waiting for another generation. Our kids moved away, and now you are the first of our grands to be there. A lot of flags and banners lost their color through the elements of time. But any flag to represent FBBC, still bright with promise and flying high. We love the fact that you are there and charting a sure course for tomorrow, leading into forever, where we will learn more about how our lives and time can bring glory to God forever. Well, with change, a lot of institutions change. One thing true about this godly college is they have held the course. We're glad they have not drifted. Another thing about drifting that you'll notice is that you'll never drift upstream. You'll never drift against the tide. Our faithfulness to the Lord is kind of like rowing upstream in many ways, because it takes a lot of effort to be constantly adding to your faith, as 2 Peter 1:5 exhorts us. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And so the disciples, you know, they knew what it was to face the winds and face the storms and be out there at sea pulling on those oars. In order to survive, you have to row. 2 Peter 3:18 is so clear. We must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must grow. We must apply ourselves. And what happens? The moment you stop rowing, or the moment you stop growing, you start going backwards. Now, the next thing we need to know is about the speed going downstream, because it can dangerously increase. Billy Norris writes of a tragedy from drifting. Two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. As they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. Caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, a diver's finally found one body, and two or three days later, the other. So you see the dangers there. I mean, they're just relaxing, enjoying the sun, enjoying the day, enjoying the best of times. Don't you have to think about it? But then, as their minds are drifting, they were not aware that they were really close to the waterfall, but by then, it was too late. As a Navy boy, our ship was going through Hawaii, and I was out swimming in the Pacific Ocean. I felt really good one day. I thought, it's almost effortless. Man, I can swim and I enjoy it. I don't ever want to stop. But finally I did. I paused. I looked back at land. I thought, good night. I'm a long ways from land. I've got a lot of swimming to do to get back to the shore. But one thing I didn't realize is it was the tides pulling me out to sea. And so I really had to swim hard to get back to land. I discovered it's not really easy anymore. And there were forces invisible to my senses there in the water pulling against me as I swam for my life. And here's the point here. Whenever we have lost sight of the land, we're just looking the other way in life, it might be hard to identify the fact that we're drifting. And so that can be the danger. Or put it this way. Whenever we have moved further and further away from the Lord, then we begin to care less about seeing what we ought to see and being what we ought to be, doing what we ought to do. Finally, we're in trouble. Now, here's another point about that. Did you know that drifting can be mighty dangerous to the lives of others? Hypothetically, suppose, you know, someone one night does not tie up their craft, and so then the tides move in. And eventually, the waters and the branches are out there swirling around on waters as the tides are pulling them out. You know, anytime there's a boat without mooring, without anchor, well, who knows where that is going to be? That drifting ship, who knows where it's going to end up? And then out there at sea, it can be a hazard to other ships. Steve Aldrich was a base commander near Ketchikan, Alaska, and came to our church, Gateway Baptist Church. He took Irene and I out in the narrows there one night, and we were cruising through the waters, and I don't know what you call it, but can't remember. You look down the water and you see this algae or something, and down there in the darkness it turns kind of a blue-green. Somehow about the boat stirs it up, and so there's light down there in the water. One thing about that, when you're cruising at night, you never want to find out that someone did not drop anchor. They're just in there snoozing in their cabin. You would not expect that for them to be out there at sea just drifting along. That would put other boats in danger. But that is the way in the Christian lives. You know, we want to help our friends, but whenever we don't have our spiritual motor running, whenever we don't even know what it is to have an anchor in our lives, we aren't much use to other people out there. We need direction, and we need stability in our lives in order to help other people. And so today we have a lot of, you know, drifting parents. We have a drifting nation. Seems to offer precious little to the generation to follow us unless America wakes up. We have drifting churches, the kind where you want to pull up alongside and say, hey, you need to wake up. You need to get your Bible, study what God says, read, get your spiritual motor going, move out for God. Also, this will catch you by no surprise. Just drifting along, and we'll end up with other shipwrecks that way. Here's what happens. A boat that's adrift will eventually crash into the rocks or go over the waterfall. So you see it. And you do see it all around us. Lives that are just drifting along. It won't be long. You've seen it. It'll happen again. And their lives will have a fallout. And their future will be turned upside down. Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So how shall we escape? Or maybe, you know, you don't know. Maybe they don't know. They don't know. They're drifting. If you're anchored up and you're stable in the Lord or tied to the dock, you watch them. There's no question in your mind. They're moving. They're in danger. And so you see that, you know, the dangers of drift, they're very real. Or why else would God warn us? And so the question, you know, for you and for me is, am I drifting? Are you drifting? We have. We've been there before, right? I mean, we have. We know what it is. Sometimes we live with some of the foolishness, and some of the regrets, or things we did and didn't do because we were drifting. Well, look at some of the keenest signs about drift here. One is for less desire to hear from God. Pretty soon we lose track of what is clean. Remember, I don't know if I was playing horsey or something. I was just a little boy. And I was following my dog JoJo around out by the chicken house. And when we came back from our trip and the chicken water stank, had to be changed. That reminded me of back then. So I was following JoJo around. JoJo led me astray. JoJo was going by the water dish of the chickens, and he stopped to lap up the water. So I was with JoJo. He's my buddy. I stopped and lapped up some of that water, too. You ever done that? No volunteer. Am I the only one? So I'm the only one. I thought I was not too smart. I think I even told my mom about it. She goes, "Oh, yeah." So she's warning me, you don't want to do that. But if we are not alert, we'll allow some dirty things into our lives. And the Bible here has the unique information cannot be found anywhere else, because the Bible tells us about our origin, where we came from. The Bible tells us about how to live. You know, what our destiny is if we have accepted Christ. Warns us about sin's consequences. Tells us that God saves. And our Bibles tell us how to have useful and happy lives. Psalm chapter 1, I'm sure you love this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we are either, you know, planted, or anchored, or we're drifting. So if we lose, really, if we lose the desire to study God's word, we're drifting. The fact that you're here this morning is just an indication that God's word is important still to you. Prayer is always awesome, because that's how we can communicate with our Lord. And Jesus knew that. He said he loved to talk to the Father. And so Mark 1:35 says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place there prayed. Chapter 6, verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And then Jesus also expressed his concern for the disciples that they would not grow weary about prayer, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so really, I mean, for us to pray less, and we're drifting. We're drifting. We need to pray. Also, with drifting, there's less desire to be with God's people, to attend the services of the Lord, worshiping God together. Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Already yesterday, I was looking forward to today. Be with God's people, worship God together. Well, if we no longer rejoice in the worship of the Lord and brethren, being with the brethren, we're drifting. And also, even beyond the services, even being beyond gathered here, if we're with the brothers and sisters in Christ, had a good time with Lyle and Joyce yesterday. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest it any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the right kind of friendships strengthen us. Wrong kinds of friendships lead us into sin. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Or 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so in Christians, you know, they prefer all kinds of the fellowship and the companionship of the world. It's not all negative and bad out there. It's just not God's people. It's just not really seeking God. It's just some of the good things of the world. But if we're drifting from God and God's work and God's fellowship, God's people, we're drifting towards the rocks with destruction. Also, you notice here, there's a diminishing desire in that sense to share the gospel. To have our sins blotted out, what? Then it's natural to want to tell other people. It's natural to want to see them blessed, to have what we have. Hallelujah. I mean, it's so good. Acts 8:4. You think of the disciples, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I don't know if that's verse 1, but anyways, Acts 4, 8, 4 or 1. But anyway, they're scattered, but they're preaching the word. They're telling others. They're in a persecution, but they still never lost their message. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God was spread abroad, so we need not to speak anything. My, they had the message, they're running with it and sharing with many. Well, when a Christian has no desire to share the message with others, have a heart that cold, it's a sign that we're drifting. Also, another point here, the increasing thrills over the things of the world, just thrilled, but with the world. There are some parents just thrilled, you know, some of the things their son was involved with, and rightfully so, but they had no thrills for spiritual things for their children. Well, pretty soon they'd all drifted. There's not much emotion for the spiritual after a while. They're all gone. Well, John warns 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I mean, don't put your love of the world, things of the world, above your love for God. And then verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we reach the point where we find more pleasure in worldly activity than meeting with God's people, worshiping God together, that's just a sign that we're drifting. Now look at the remedy against drifting. One is, brother and sister, we need to keep rowing. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence. It means put something into it, right? I mean, be excited about it, right? Don't lose your passion. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I find, you know, with this, where is retirement in the Christian life? And that's one of the things you've got to love about Fairhaven Baptist Church. It's a wonderful world. We know that. We sang about that. And it's demonstrated in the fellowship hall. If you haven't stopped and look at those pictures to enjoy and the posters to enjoy, you realize, you know, it's a wonderful world, and here we enjoy it together. And in Vacation Bible School, my heart was thrilled to see the people stepping up, working hard. A lot of people get about 50 years old, and they think, well, I got to step back, let the younger generation, you know, have a place here and move up here, and I'm just going to quit teaching that kind of thing. That's not true here at Fairhaven. And so nobody's expecting a pat on the back, a lot of encouragement, or anything like that. It's just built into their lives. That's part of the ethic of living the Christian life, serve God and put everything into it. And that's what our folks did. And so that's the joy. So Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God and Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on, and there's no other option. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. And here's the outward and the inward and the sad and the, you know, or the sick and the strong and the weak and the healthy and all this. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so, you know, you feed that inward spirit and you just go for God best you can, depending on how the outward applies or what it allows. But like we talk about in Sunday school, best thing we can do is pray. We can all pray. Next point, what's the remedy? Well, watch out for the undercurrents. We're down in Bella Vista just last week, and we were tied up to the dock for the pontoon ride, George and Bonnie. George getting ready to go, but then he knows, hey, I still got the back of the boat tied to the dock. So he got out and he was untying the boat. While he's untying the boat, the front of the boat is already drifting away. So I went over there and grabbed a hold of the dock, pull it back in there. But watch out for the undercurrents. Always be on guard. One of the undercurrents we got to face is temptation. And so our fleshly nature is warring against the soul. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. They would destroy us if we don't know that danger of the drift. Galatians 5:16-17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, next point, like, what's a remedy? What's a solution? Well, expect to go against the tides. There are many tides out there that sweep us away. Some fall to popularity or peer pressure or false doctrine, a lot of that today. So, just the distractions. So when I'm headed down the highway and I'm looking at somebody's garden or something and I'm starting to drift across the lane on the freeway, Irene will raise her voice at a word of warning. And then if she's not satisfied, she'll reach for the wheel. So this is to say, in a good church, we have people that care, that watch out for us, that help us when we're starting to drift. Fairhaven's like that. I just love the name Fairhaven. I don't remember ever hearing Fairhaven Baptist Church until we came here, but I think that's the best of names. No better name. Because here away from the storms of life, amongst our brothers and sisters, we find a shelter from the world. It's a fair haven from the storm. A weaker church may be a bigger church, more concerned about their program than for the people there, putting our human natures first, whatever we prefer. You get into a lot of indifference and apathy about real needs in people's lives that way. But you know what? We're here to help each other stay in our spiritual lane and help each other out. Also, we must have a strong anchor. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, Colossians 2:7. We need our minds anchored in truth. No more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 4:14-15. I believe it seems like the devil must find this generation an easy generation of people to deceive. Because you find it going on all around about us. But do we have an anchor, this unshakable hope to know it is impossible for God to lie, and we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, Hebrews 6:18-19. You know, there's only one sure thing, only one sure person. It's the anchor for our souls, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17. So in conclusion, we should ask, am I drifting? Oh, the danger's real. I mean, to deny the danger would be foolish. The danger's there. Many have drifted. And it would surely be arrogant for any of us to say, oh, that can never happen to me. We can drift. It can happen to me. I don't want that to happen to me. Are there signs of drifting in my life? Honestly, to ask, do I have little desire to study God's word or to pray? Is my desire to be with God's people as strong as it ever was in the past? Have I lost the desire for reaching the lost? Maybe am I too just enamored with the passing things of life? If we are drifting, then maybe encourage one another, give more earnest heed, as warned in Hebrews here, Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2:3. And we think about our salvation that we have from the Lord. And friend, it's too great to just let it slip. It'll matter for us for all of eternity. How we live now, how that will reflect upon glorifying God when we see Him in heaven. We want to glorify Him. We love Him. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. We love it. So let's live for Him today. Father, thank You for helping us and guiding us, and surely You have given us an anchor for our souls. You've given us direction in our lives. And Lord, somebody could be tied up to the boat, start up their spiritual engine, or tied up to the dock, start their spiritual engine, let it roar and move everything around as far as the throttle and motor, and go no place because they're tied up to the dock. Help us, Lord, to be aware of things in life that can tie us down. But then, Lord, instead of drifting, moving along at sea, just a slight little finger on the wheel, and the boat responds to move another direction. May we just be so sensitive to You, Lord. Just a slight whisper from the Holy Spirit to our hearts, and we respond to You to choose a better course in life. Thank You for doing that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.